Hello and welcome to a terrible, terrible edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast after a miserable loss. Jesse, this is the first time he's hearing the loss music, so
this is awful, Derek. Yeah, it doesn't even really sound sad. Like, I kind of like it.
Doesn't sound sad. This is us marching to our death off into the sunset, Jesse, but of course
it's called Day of the Dead, yeah, Jesse.
The title of the song is fitting then.
Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead. Yeah, of course. I am your mayor, PHNX, occasionally known as Derek Montilla. He's your vice mayor, always known as your Thunderstick, occasionally known as Jesse Friedman. And this show is brought to you by our friends at Factor Meal Kits. And when we say that, we literally mean both of us are powered by Factor Meal Kits regularly these days. Yes. Head to factormeals.com/PHNXDBacks50 and use code PHNXDBacks50 to get 50% off. Well, that was an absolutely miserable loss. And the first thing I think, seeing the Diamondbacks lose this game the way they did in the ninth inning, is that Tommy Henry deserved better.
Sure.
Tommy Henry deserved better. The errors just were really compounded there late. Unfortunately, I think we saw a few too many Blaze moments there in the ninth inning, where Blaze Alexander made some critical mistakes that cost this team at least the lead there late in the ninth inning. And then the team loses the game in the 10th.
Yeah. So going into the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth, probably felt pretty good about this, right? Braves did get a run back in the eighth inning. It was a 5-3 game. You've got Kevin Ginkle on the mound. Kevin Ginkle with a 2-run lead. Feel pretty good about that situation. The ninth inning starts, and Austin Riley rolls over the top, hits a slow roller toward shortstop. Blaze Alexander had entered the game as a pinch hitter, and he was not able to make that play. It was a fielding error on Blaze Alexander. But even then, it's a runner at first. This is Kevin Ginkle. You've got a 2-run lead. You're still in a pretty decent spot. Then Ginkle misplaces a pitch to Matt Olson, which doesn't usually end well. Matt Olson hits it into the gap. That runner scores. Now it's a 5-4 game. You've got a runner at second with nobody out, representing, of course, the tying run. And given how good this Braves offense is at that point, the D-backs were in a very, very difficult spot. And it only got worse, Derek, a couple of batters later after a Marcell Ozuna ground out for the first out of the inning. Jared Kelenic hits a lazy pop fly down the left field line, sort of in no man's land, but a ball that absolutely should have been caught by someone.
By either guy, to be honest. But again, yes, in that situation, we kind of debated it here in the office a bit. We'd love to hear what you guys think in the chat. Lourdes definitely should have taken control in that situation. I don't know if he just failed to call Blaze off or if he did and Blaze didn't hear him. Obviously, it ended up that at least the two didn't collide, but it looked like they very much impeded each other from making that catch. And yeah, it looked like a very catchable ball when it came to Lourdes coming in to catch it. It almost felt like Blaze, who covered a lot of ground trying to make that catch, definitely got in the way of Lourdes, you know, catching it cleanly. Who knows if he would have without Blaze being there, because we don't live in that reality, in that timeline. We live in this dark timeline where this game happened and it went down the way it did. And I don't like this timeline. Damon hit the nail on the head with this game. If you want to repeat yourself, people producer over there, he's the people's producer, by the way. There's a distinction between calling him a people producer and the people's producer. Okay, so go ahead.
All I was saying is that we went into this game expecting a loss. No one is upset about the loss.
Fair.
Yeah. We're upset because of how we lost, because we should have won this game based off of how it went. Like, it was kind of a scheduled loss with Strider versus Tommy Henry. We knew that going in, but this is just disgusting, man. Yeah. Like, just disgusting.
Thunderbolt, great to see you in the chat. We knew we could count on you being here after a loss and being miserable.
First game of the season. That's on brand.
Can you get up to Elise's comment there? Not that one, the other one that she had. She said Blaze seemed to get in Lourdes's way. That very much seemed to be the case.
Yeah, I think it appeared to be a breakdown in communication somehow. I'm sure the stadium was loud.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
When you're the outfielder, you have to communicate, or else the infielder is told to sell out for the ball until he's explicitly told not to.
Correct.
And you have to make it very, very clear.
But you could tell Blaze did not know where that ball was. The way he was looking over this way.
He didn't know where it was. And ultimately, as people are saying in the chat, he got in Lourdes's way. I think it's a catch that is probably fairly routine even. I mean, maybe you did have to cover a decent amount of ground, but a play that was not very difficult for Lourdes to make if Blaze isn't there. You know, I think Blaze's inexperience probably shows up in some way in that moment. So,
and honestly, based on what we've heard from him, it's kind of characteristic that he would be like that, right? Like, I mean,
I don't really want to say that. I'm not saying it was a dumb play.
I'm saying that he was attempting to make a spectacular play. He was going all out. He was putting all of his effort into it. It's not to say that if Lourdes would have called him off, he would have still came on or anything like that. I think it ultimately came down to miscommunication. And on, to his credit, Blaze covering a lot of ground to get over there to also almost make that catch. Like, it would have been a little, obviously much more difficult for him than Lourdes, but I felt like if Lourdes wasn't there, he might have even had a better chance at it. It felt like both guys got in each other's way.
Yeah, Blaze might have been able to make that play on his own. He didn't necessarily take a great route to it, so it's hard for me to say for sure. But at the end of the day, Blaze Alexander is a rookie. Right. Blaze Alexander is a rookie. He's only played in a handful of major league games, and it's just part of being a rookie. Right. Like, I think back to Corbin Carroll last season. For as great of a season as he had, he was the unanimous rookie of the year. You pretty much literally could not have asked for anything more from Corbin Carroll in his rookie season. And I still remember moments where he forgot how many outs there were, right? Like, I think there was a time when he thought he had caught the third out of an inning, but it was actually not the third out. And so a runner was able to tag and score from third easily or something along those lines. We saw multiple rookie mistakes from Corbin Carroll last year. I don't think this necessarily says a ton about Blaze as a person, as a player. It just says to me that Blaze Alexander is a rookie, and there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some, you know, potentially kind of embarrassing moments in big spots like this. It's just part of the game. And the Diamondbacks missed Geraldo Perdomo today, right? Geraldo Perdomo, if he's in that spot, he has the experience. If he's in that spot, I think the Diamondbacks might come away with this.
Perdomo doesn't get hurt. We got two more dubs right now. Last two games. I'm just gonna come out and say that. He gets a big timely hit like he always does against the Yankees, and then we win this one because he's a good defender. Two extra dubs.
Yeah.
The line between the Diamondbacks being 4-4, which is what they are, and being 6-2 is very small. These are two games that you feel like they probably should have had both of them, and especially this game. I mean, if neither of those defensive mishaps happen in the ninth inning, the Diamondbacks win this game 5-3. Matt Olson is the only guy who actually had a legitimate hit against Kevin Ginkle in that ninth inning. So this is, in my mind, this loss is even more egregious than the one against the Yankees, despite all of the many mistakes that they made along the way.
There's a few of you in the chat have said essentially that these games, you can't let these games get away from you, especially when they end up proving to be so crucial late in the season, how close the margins are there. And Piece of Yoshi, yes, we all slandered Jace for him to get a hit and the other shortstop to make a pivotal error.
Not me. I wouldn't do something like that.
You didn't. I have a tweet that contradicts that, sir. I think really when it comes down to it, we've got to give Tommy Henry his flowers, because today he absolutely outdueled Spencer Strider.
Yes.
Not that that mattered, but that again is why it's kind of compounded here, like what Damon was saying, like Jesse said, this was a game we expected to lose, and Tommy Henry goes out there and shoves against Spencer Strider, and the offense was very effective early against Spencer Strider. The Diamondbacks once again scored those first inning runs, three runs in the first inning. They have 15 so far in 8 games, so they've been very good about being able to get those runs early. It's just adding on those late runs that have kind of been a problem for them, right? But
yes.
Spencer Strider, 4 innings pitch, gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, 88 pitches. Just Strider's second start since the beginning of last year in which he had 3 or more walks with 4 or fewer strikeouts. The Diamondbacks were patient. It paid off because at one point it felt like he just wasn't pitching in the zone at all, and they were taking advantage of it. And meanwhile, Tommy Henry, he walked the tightrope at times, but he was very good for this team, and he absolutely gave them a chance to win against a very, very tough Braves offense.
Tommy Henry is the reason that all of you were invested in this game to begin with, right? I mean, the pitching matchup, we talked a lot about it going into this one. Spencer Strider against Tommy Henry, from just like a depth chart standpoint, you can't really draw up a more challenging matchup for the Diamondbacks than that one. But yeah, I mean, credit the offense for doing what they did against Spencer Strider today. It was really impressive. There were multiple hits, even in 0-2 counts. Cattell, his home run to lead off the game was in an 0-2 count.
We couldn't even get our watch along started before.
Yeah,
we did a
watch along for our diehards, which, by the way, become a PHNX diehard if you haven't already. We did that in the first couple of innings, and yeah, we hadn't even been able to fire it up yet before Cattell Marte did what he did. So yeah, the D-backs really kept it on Strider. They made him throw a lot of pitches. They got him out after four innings. But as you said, it's not just about, you know, putting some runs on the opposing starting pitcher. It's about continuing to tack on runs after that. And after, you know, Strider went four innings, seven hits, five runs, the Braves bullpen in this game went six innings, two hits, no runs, three walks, four strikeouts. Like, that's sort of, it was sort of like flipped, right? Like, if I had given you those two lines beforehand, you probably would have figured that Strider was the one who threw the six scoreless innings. And then it was the bullpen that maybe the D-backs were able to get to. They really put it on Strider, but once Jesse Chavez came in the game, there were a lot of quick at-bats. That trend pretty much continued the whole way. The D-backs didn't really threaten a ton. There, of course, was also an opportunity to win this game in the 10th, right? The Diamondbacks still had an opportunity. It was only a tie. It was just a tie game after those two disasters in the 9th inning. But not only were they unable to score in the top of the 10th, they weren't even able to get Jock Peterson over to third base, which is, you know, especially tough. So all the way around, I mean, I think this game is going to stick around in our heads as being one of the worst losses of this season for quite a while.
Because it hurts so bad. We were so close, and really it was, you know, you had said it while we were watching the ninth inning. We were like, that should be the ball game. When Lourdes has caught that ball, you know, if you don't have Blaze make that mistake, Lourdes catches that ball, you know, we're out of it. There is something to be said about the bullpen for this team. And honestly, that's probably the thing that I'm most worried about right now. The bullpen does not seem effective. Unfortunately, it seems exactly like the same scenario that we had last season, where it feels like no matter who Torrey puts in high leverage situations, even though right now he's mostly relying on Kevin Ginkle, and Kevin Ginkle has not really been it for them in that closer role, despite how good he has been for this team in any other role that they've asked of him. But it's not just Ginkle, you know, obviously Scott McGuff going through it, because he is not effective at all when put into these high leverage situations, despite the fact that Torrey started to lean on him more based on how well he was performing early in the season when he was kind of that middle reliever guy. So the bullpen right now is really exposed. The loss of Sewald is apparent, and it has kind of made this a difficult, that you would think that everybody just kind of moves forward one spot.
Yeah.
And they attempted that a little bit, but tonight they had to bring in Ryan Thompson a bit earlier than I'm sure Torrey wanted to use, you know, him. And
I think they probably brought in Thompson there just because he wound up facing the middle of the lineup. So I don't know, maybe even if Sewald is healthy, maybe they're like, yeah, we want to use Thompson in the sixth and then maybe go Mantiply in the seventh or whatever. But yeah, to your point, if Paul Sewald is healthy, I don't think Miguel Castro pitches in this game.
Right.
And Miguel Castro gave up a very pivotal run in the eighth inning. He faced three batters, two of them doubled.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that set up the Diamondbacks for what was ultimately a really tough loss. So they're feeling the impact of not having Sewald for sure. They're certainly feeling the impact of not having Geraldo Perdomo. They did get Randall Grichuk back. So they did they do have one player back from the injured list. I imagine we'll see him a good amount this weekend with a couple of lefties coming up for the Braves. But D-backs are banged up right now, and you're definitely seeing that manifest in these games.
They're going to have to turn to Ryan Nelson or Tommy Henry, and or maybe even both of them, to be bullpen guys for this team. I mean, that's potentially what needs to happen. I don't know what they're going to do, but they need some bodies down there, and they need some guys that Torrey can rely on. The new guys for this team offensively continue to get it done. Gino has been excellent. This is his fifth multi-hit game in his first eight games as a D-back, which is second in franchise history behind Adam Jones, who had six multi-hit games.
Adam Jones, there you go.
I love Adam Jones. He was awesome to be around. He wasn't very good.
Yeah, that was a little bit past his heyday when prime when he was playing for the D-backs. But yes, a very, very cool baseball player in general. For
Jesse,
sure.
This man complimented my shirts every single time he saw them.
That's right.
The story I like to tell.
That's why we can't get you to stop talking about Adam Jones.
That's right. Yeah. But remember, the crucial part of that is that he said it in a way that made me think that he didn't recognize me as the same guy from the day before that he had just told.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, despite mustache, beard, it doesn't matter. Apparently, I have a very forgettable face. Don't forget, Ketel Marte introduces himself to me every season. Mucho gusto. But Jock Peterson, Gino, they've been getting it done. The two guys together, 18 for 44 with a 409 average, 7 walks, 7 strikeouts, 52 plate appearances. All 7 strikeouts belong to Gino Suarez, because Jock Peterson still hasn't struck out.
Something else?
It's crazy. Peterson is hitting over 500 now.
It's like 19 plate appearances, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to bog it down with details. It's just amazing he hasn't struck out yet. Jock Peterson, let me see on this. I want to get an actual 500. The man is hitting 500 with a 1.203 OPS.
He is 7 for 14 with 5 walks, and as you said, no strikeouts to start the season. Gino is 11 for 30. I believe so. Pretty impressive stuff. Like, I know a lot of people are talking about Corbin Carroll in the chat, which we should probably get to. Is another rough game for him, but I don't think the D-backs have felt the effects of that as much offensively, because Gino Suarez and Jock Peterson have been huge for this team, and obviously those are the two big additions to this lineup that they made over the offseason. They didn't have those guys last year, and combined they are 18 for 44. They are hitting 409 with 7 walks and 7 strikeouts between them and 52 plate appearances. You really really can't ask for anything more than that.
Do we give someone King Snake? Do we just take it from the team? I feel like we should. I want to give King Snake to Torrey's jacket, which, by the way, don't get sassy with me on Twitter, D-backs admin. But I guess we do have to give it to somebody. So, Damon, let's throw it up there. Do we have let's get our King Snake. It's Tommy Henry, because he got robbed. This man absolutely got fucking robbed. 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 K. When you say what could we possibly get out of Tommy Henry tonight against this Braves lineup, that's it. That is it. That is like best case scenario. Like, if I told you that, Jesse would probably say, I don't think so. Like, that's asking a lot. Like,
I would have done it in that exact tone of voice.
That was a great impression. Derek and I actually, I've noticed, both have really good Jesse impressions.
Well, it's because it's not like we're not allowed around him a lot or anything like that. You know, God forbid we have to listen to this man constantly question us. I'm going to put some money in the swear jar just for that swear and for more swears. But go ahead, talk about Tommy Henry some more.
Tommy Henry was good. He was good in this game. He had 14 whiffs, which is more than Spencer Strider. I think if you had just told me that Tommy Henry was going to have more whiffs Spencer Strider in this game, I probably would have been pretty impressed by that. Yeah. He gave the Diamondbacks a chance to win, and every time that Henry's spot or Nelson's spot come up over these next few weeks while these guys are in the rotation, that's what you're hoping for. You're just hoping to have a chance to win the baseball game. And especially against this Braves lineup, which I think is maybe the best lineup in baseball. I mean, we can have the Dodgers versus Braves conversation, I guess. They're both extremely, extremely good. But yeah, going out there, 5 innings, 2 runs, it wasn't always pretty. I think both of us, as we were watching this game, we agreed that Tommy Henry maybe should have been removed from this game earlier than he was in our minds. It seemed like things were kind of slipping a little bit as he got through as the third time Braves hitters came up for the third time. That can be a bit of a shaky time, but yeah, he hung in there. He was able to make some big pitches at the end and get through 5 innings and set up the Diamondbacks for success.
A lot of talk, a lot of concern about Christian Walker in the chat, or if that's what you want to call it. A lot of concern about Corbin Carroll. Understandably so. Carroll had some better at-bats tonight, even though there wasn't the success behind them. You found them to be encouraging, at least steps in the right direction versus his negative 7% Launch angle and thing like that.
Right, right.
7 degree. Sorry, not percents. He's going to yell at me later for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say the quality of Corbin's at-bats were spectacular necessarily, but I think the contact that he made was more compelling. We saw him hit a ground ball that had a positive launch angle that was at almost 110 miles an hour off the bat. I think it was the hardest hit ball of this game, at least for most of it. We saw some contact that looked more Corbin Carroll-esque. Saw him go the other way with a fly ball. He didn't quite get enough of it, but something that, at least when I saw it, it was like, oh yeah, that's what Corbin Carroll does. It didn't land for a hit, but that looked like something he would do. But then in his last at bat of the game, it was another pitch up in the zone that he swung at, first pitch of the at bat, and it was a lazy pop up again, which of course has been a trend for him. So is Corbin Carroll right currently? No, he clearly is struggling. He's trying to find his swing here early in the season. He has not been able to barrel up the baseball as we're used to seeing. But it's 8 games, and I feel like that's all I have to say. It's 8 games. I would not be worried about Corbin Carroll too much at this point. Players as talented as Corbin Carroll are tend to figure things out.
I agree. I'm not worried. I'm just more frustrated. And I will take it back to what Damon said earlier. It's the fact that this game, on paper, I wouldn't have really given them a chance. I don't think we did when we were previewing this series. However, they did make it through 8 innings with a lead.
They had it.
And they had it. Tommy Henry delivered. The offense delivered. They gave them everything they needed. The defense late just blew it. And, I mean, honestly, you could blame a lot of it on Blaze Alexander. He's a new kid. They're going to make mistakes, and they're going to get better at baseball, just like Corbin Carroll, just like some of the other concerns we have. It's understandable, though, to be upset, especially considering that, like Yoshi said earlier, right? We all clamored for Blaze Alexander to be in the starting lineup today, and it turns out that Jace might have been the guy that we should have left him in, you know, in the game. Honestly, if Jace does make the same mistake, people are screaming for Torrey's head.
Oh, if Jace made that mistake, God, man, it'd be a dark day on Diamondbacks.
It really would be.
One thing that does stand out to me is that I think as a fan of a baseball team, something that people often miss is just the rookie factor of calling someone up from the minors, and you see like big flashy numbers in Reno, you see big flashy numbers in spring training, you expect big things, and I think at times can discount the importance, or I guess the value, of players who have been there and done that for a long time, right? And we saw this last year, I think, when the Diamondbacks made a pretty aggressive decision to move on from Nick Ahmed and bring in Jordan Lawler. Within a few weeks, it was like, oh man, like Jordan Lawler just made a rookie mistake. Like Nick Ahmed probably doesn't make that mistake, right?
Oh yeah.
And I think we understand the reasons why the Diamondbacks made that move, certainly. And we understand why the Diamondbacks, you know, are certainly willing to use Blaze Alexander even in big moments. But I think oftentimes people forget, like, oh, Jace Peterson, maybe he's really struggling at the plate, but like he's been around for a long time. He knows how to handle big crowds, big moments. He's been there and done that before. He's not going to be as prone to these kind of mistakes as, you know, a guy like Blaze Alexander would be. And that's not to say the D-backs shouldn't give Blaze opportunities whatsoever. It's just a difference that I think a lot of people are not always aware of.
One thing I will say is that they have seemed very complacent due to the fact that they've been able to generate those runs in games so early.
Yeah.
They've typically had a lead in almost every single game that they've played, right? They've been up early in every game. They've been able to generate that offense early. It really does feel at times like they let their foot off the gas a bit and they're not still trying to create those runs, create those situations where they're putting runners in scoring position and trying to convert those, you know. So there's definitely a lot of questioning right now of the management of this team. And I think Torrey has made some errors already as a manager. And that's for those of you that want to criticize, you know, and get crazy with it after these games, it's understandable. Like,
yeah,
it's been some crushing losses, especially these two in a row. It's very, 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 very bad, you know, but it's mostly compounded by the fact that they were in it, right? When they're in it, it's a lot different than, you know, like that first game against the Yankees, right? Where they really didn't get a chance to really feel like they were ever in that game. But
at what point do we talk about our late inning struggles? Like Jesse, we were talking about it a little bit during the game. They stink. They stink with the ghost runner. Awful.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like this.
Over the last 12 months, they have been atrocious.
They lose every time.
Yeah.
They can't get a guy from second in with zero outs. It's shocking for such a good team.
I guess the counter example, of course, would be that yesterday they managed to score, or not yesterday, a couple of days ago, and that's in that finale against the Yankees, they managed to score three runs in the 10th and the 11th together. They had two in the 10th. They had one more in the 11th, but they were very much helped by the Yankees defense. Anthony Volpe made a really big throwing error in that 10th inning. And then in the 11th, they were able to get one, which I guess was legitimate. Jorge Barroza, who is now back in Reno, but he came through with a big hit that did give the Diamondbacks a run. So, but yes, on the whole, the Diamondbacks in extra innings over the last, going back to the beginning of last season, it's been pretty rough.
Smokey Bear, absolutely correct there when he said we're definitely going to be in the market for bullpen help in July.
I feel like I could have said that before this season started. the Diamondbacks were probably, most contenders in general are looking for bullpen help at the trade deadline. But the Diamondbacks, after not adding anything at all in that regard over the offseason, it seemed pretty inevitable to me.
Tony says, chug that beer, Derek. Maybe that'll help wash this loss out of our system. I don't hate that idea at all. He also said, should have kept the Discord session going. LOL. Yeah, maybe it is on
maybe
us.
Maybe that's what it is, Derek. Maybe it's on us. We should maybe take the L on this one.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And in fact, the Diamondbacks weren't as bad as we thought, by the way, in 2023. They were 5-4 in extra innings games last year, believe it or not.
I think they went on a surge late in the year because I remember a time like maybe halfway through the season, a good way through the season, where they had almost never even gotten a man from second to third base. I think I remember having that conversation. But the Diamondbacks played so well down the stretch as the playoffs were nearing, that I do think they kind of turned things around and started coming through a bit more in extra innings then.
Oh, well. Oh, well, is all I can say. But I will say,
they're not 2-6. I mean, they're 4-4, right?
Yeah.
They're playing the Rockies after this series. Yeah. So whatever bad happens in Atlanta, Derek, they can reverse all of it in Colorado
Silver
immediately
this,
afterwards.
Jesse, thank you. Also, it is good for them to make these mistakes and to get mad about this kind of stuff early on. Hopefully it's better than, making like, as crazy as this is to say, I would rather it happen kind of now than the July that they had. So if we could keep a July from happening and just kind of make some of these mistakes and hopefully pivot and make some changes early on, we can avoid that bad of a month at any point. But I will say that right now I am properly fed, and luckily that is due to Factor Meal Kits. So thanks again to Factor Meal Kits for filling
us with
delicious.
I have one in the office fridge right now.
He does. Yeah. Our office fridge tends to look like some sort of Factor advertisement when you open it up.
Yes.
There's a lot of us eating Factor, and that's because their ready to eat meals are delicious. They're fresh. They're never frozen. They're ready in 2 minutes. And honestly, they just have some incredible combinations. I've talked a lot about the sauce. Sauce is really what makes it. I don't care what the sauce is. I don't care what the flavor it is. It's on point every single time. So, of course, there's no prep. There's no mess. Factor meals are ready to eat and heat. So there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up needed. If you make it too complicated for either one of us, we're out, especially with all the food that we can eat around here. But food around here can be expensive, especially food in the ballpark, as many of you know. So we have to do our best to not do that. And they've done the math for us. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Plus, you can take it on the go. Head to factormeals.com/PHNXDBacks50 and use code PHNXDBacks50 to get 50% off. That's code PHNXDBacks50 at factormeals.com/PHNXDBacks50 to get 50% off. Also, a great way to make MLB more fun is with Prize Picks. Right now, of course, we're here. We're in the thick of it of MLB season, and you can get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your baseball knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Damon absolutely cleans up on Prize Picks. You heard earlier, I don't know, did you tell him about your parlay?
I did.
I think you did, right? Yeah.
Like, I didn't at least say anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, his parlay.
I need the Braves to win by three. Everything else in my parlay hit, and I was happy with a Diamondbacks win to make my parlay lose. But when the Braves win in that fashion, and I didn't win $100, I am sick to my stomach right now.
Go to PrizePicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There's people calling for Corbin to be sent to Reno, and it's Thunderbolt.
Couple people that are coming after Corbin, and it's absolutely insane.
You guys obviously want everything to be perfect all the time with baseball, and unfortunately, that's not how baseball works. It's kind of like Lourdes Gurriel being the National League Player of the Year and then going 0-13 in
National
his next
League Player of the Week.
Not that year. That's definitely crazy. But National League Player of the Week, and then going 0-13 in his next 13 at bats. But
he's good again today.
He was good again today. But let's take a look at the count with the rest of the numbers from today's game. He'll have it in a second because of course we have ourselves. Again, another close game. This time, at least, a lot of the things that, you know, we have here on today's breakdown make a little bit more sense as to why Atlanta won. But still, I mean, again, the Diamondbacks had their opportunities with runners in scoring position. They did convert those, going 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Braves 4-for-16. So obviously Braves had themselves more runners. A lot of that was actually, I mean, Tommy Henry did allow some base runners, but he absolutely did a good job of keeping a lot of those from scoring. Braves had 12 hits to the Diamondbacks 9, 3 walks to the Diamondbacks 6. And then both teams had one home run each. So again, very close battle. Numbers show that, but the Diamondbacks just blew it there in the ninth.
The Braves had way more opportunities with runners in scoring position, right? 4-for-16 versus 2-for-8 for the D-backs. So, yeah, this wasn't a game. Like, if the Diamondbacks had gotten out of there and won 5-3 or 5-4 in that ninth inning, it wouldn't have been a particularly dominant win, right? Like, there were some balls that kind of bounced their way. I think the Braves' expected batting average when Tommy Henry exited the game, I think, was over 300. They made some hard contact against him, and they kind of continued to make pretty hard contact throughout this game. So the Braves are the Braves, man. I mean, they're just a really, really good baseball team. And again, this is a game that going in, you didn't expect the Diamondbacks to win, but they should have. They should have won this game based on how well Tommy Henry pitched and the way that they were set up, even, you know, in that ninth inning, even after the error that opened that inning. They still should have been able to get out of that if, you know, the second defensive mishap doesn't happen as well. So we do have some words from Torey Lovello on this incident, which I think is interesting. Torey Lovello, I guess, is just from the broadcast audio that if you might have caught on the post game show, speaking about that Gurriel Alexander situation, the Jared Kelenic fly ball. Lovello said it was in the air a long time. Blaze was charging after it. Gurriel might have seen how aggressive Blaze was coming to that ball. The last thing I looked at was Blaze redirecting, trying to get in line with the ball, and might have run past it. I'm not sure. So the key line there, I guess, is that Gurriel might have seen how aggressive Blaze was coming after that ball. And that's why he kind of peeled off and wound up not making the play.
That's horrible, though. That's Lourdes needs to be a veteran in that situation.
Yep.
Get out of my way. Yep. That's how baseball works. Ball, as loud as you can until he runs out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the idea is I don't know Lourdes' side of this story, but maybe Lourdes was saying ball, and Blaze couldn't hear him because of how loud it was. And Lourdes didn't want to just run into Blaze.
I mean,
it would have been a pretty ugly collision.
That might be true, but that comment makes it sound more like Lourdes just passively let off so that Blaze could go after it based on Blaze's, you know, how you know, how he was getting after it, right? Yeah. I think the critical thing here is even if Blaze makes a circus catch and does a great job of grabbing it, he's not going to be in a position to throw out the runner. And that run could still score if he has to, like, tumble on the ground in order to catch that or do something. Yeah. Whereas Lourdes absolutely has the ability to have a line on throwing it in, and he's going to keep that runner there. Like, this was... It was a terrible play all the way around.
Lourdes probably would have thrown the ball like into the stands or something with his inaccurate arm.
Let's calm down. All right,
Lourdes would have been pretty close to home plate at that point. I don't think anyone's trying to score from third base at that point. So yeah, I don't think that the responsibility is fully on Lourdes or fully on Blaze.
It's on both of them.
It is on both of them.
Both screwed up.
But yes, Lourdes should be the one making that play at the end. It's an easier play for an outfielder to come in there than a shortstop playing in to go out and you know, try to make an over the shoulder kind of catch. There was some sort of a miscommunication, and you know, hopefully we'll get more information on exactly how that went down.
We do need to talk about the bullpen though some more, I think, because again, the bullpen, you know, you can't expect pitchers to go out there and completely hold this Braves lineup scoreless. But it really did feel like, you know, that Miguel Castro was ineffective. And then you also have, you know, Ginkle, who wasn't great, but still, like, a lot of that wasn't on Ginkle, I don't feel like.
No, I mean,
he was asked to get four outs, too, on top of that.
Yeah, you know? In the box score, Ginkle pitched an inning and a third. He really had to get six outs. Because there was an error made.
Well said.
And then there was also that play that wasn't called an error. It was called Kelenic's pop up was called a double. He got six outs. I mean, that's really what Kevin Ginkle did. So I don't think Ginkle was at his best today necessarily. When he first came in the game, he left a couple of sliders right in the middle of the zone to Ozzie Albies. And all of us watching were like, oh, this is not going to be a good Ginkle outing if he keeps throwing it there. But he didn't. He settled down and by and large pitched pretty well. Did make the mistake to Matt Olson, but he should have converted this save. This blown save is really not on him at all.
Thank you to AZ Sports Girl 224 with the just handsome as hell profile picture there. Thank you for your super chat. That's a hot picture. She says, as someone who played softball in middle school, that error by Blaze gave me flashbacks. Yeah, that's it. That was probably really weird for the audio listeners to hear, by the way, me just talking about how hot someone's profile picture is and not realizing that. It's me. Asleep.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's asleep. Drunk.
That's a good point. I'm glad you clarified.
I just wanted to make sure I clarified that for the audio.
Good job, Derek.
Good job. Thank you. Now we have Jesse's, of course, numbers that don't lie. Here are numbers that don't lie. What do you got?
The numbers never lie, Derek. Today's number is 76,
ooh,
which is the percentage, 76%. This is Tommy Henry's first pitch strike percentage.
Oh.
If you watch the entirety of Tommy Henry's outing today, you might have noticed he was up 0-1 on the vast majority of the hitters he faced. 76% is very, very good. I looked up Tommy Henry's his numbers over the course of his career. He had never had a first pitch strike percentage this high in a major league start.
Wow.
So that was a big part of how Tommy Henry was effective today.
He was locating really well today. He really was.
Yeah, I mean, there were still misses here and there for sure, but just getting ahead 0-1 is really important. And yeah, that was a big part of why Tommy Henry outpitched Spencer Strider when all was said and done.
All right. Well, people are accusing me of having Stan accounts. Maybe. That might be a thing. I don't know what to tell you. people find me to be adorable, but that's only the OGs talking. And of course, OGs is a great way to get over a loss like this. This one's definitely a performance to forget. And a great way to forget a performance like this is with OGs Brands. It's gummy madness season, Jesse. We had an elimination tournament take place. We had different gummies seated and facing off against each other in this March Madness bracketed tournament, and your 2024 Gummy Madness champion, Sleep Edition Gummies.
Oh, there we go. That is right.
The Sleep Edition Gummies. And everybody knows that. You know why? Because the Sleep Edition, like everything else, is cool. It's cool to have a happy balance. It's cool to have a microdose. And it's very cool to try out an indica and then go watch the Transformers movie from 1985. It's incredible, actually. But I'll tell you, the Sleep Edition gummies help you get a good night's sleep. And for me, not only did they help me get a good night's sleep, but they got me back on track as far as my sleep schedule goes. I can get a great night's sleep now and not just sleep 4.5 hours like I used to at one point. This guy knows what I'm talking about over here, not because he uses the Sleep Edition gummies, but because he only sleeps 4.5 hours every single night.
This is true.
We need to get him on a Sleep Edition, sleep something, sleep schedule. But
did you know it's Flavoring Friday?
Oh, it is Flavoring Friday as well, but of course, you know, go out there and get this. What we got for you is your Gummy Madness BOGO deals, and all week long until April 8th, you can get buy one, get one free on OG's brand. So make sure to check them out wherever you get your wonderful goods. I'll just call them goods at. To learn more about OG's gummies, where you can find them, head on over to OG'sBrands.com. Also, if you want to check out baseball, especially when this team comes back here to Phoenix, a great way to do so is with Game Time. And right now, if you're watching baseball, no matter where you're watching it at, you can get an extra special deal with the code First Pitch. Now, Jesse, Game Time is the first place I go when I want to go to a baseball game and I'm not in this city. And of course, whenever I travel,
yeah,
I immediately try to figure out when is the next baseball game and can I go watch it while I'm here. I should be in Philadelphia right now for WrestleMania.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have gotten to see this lovely baseball game.
See, that's what pisses me off more is that I stayed here to watch this fucking dog shit game. I put a couple of dollars in there. It's fine. It's been cleared. But of course, it would have been a lot better to see these games in person. I don't, maybe it'd be worse. I don't know. But of course, when I travel, I definitely use Game Time to get those tickets for all of those away games. And you can too. You can also get them. You can get last minute ticket deals on all sorts of stuff, not just sporting events, but on concerts, movies, or not movies, sporting events, theater events, comedy shows, which I love going to. Game Time is the place for last minute tickets. You can save up to 60% off by buying your tickets through them. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. And again, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. For a limited time, all users can get $20 off any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with code FIRSTPITCH. That's FIRSTPITCH. Terms do apply. Again, that's code First Pitch for $20 off from now until April 14th. Only download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Can I talk about something that's happening in the chat right now? Conversation
sure.
That's happening in the sure. Chat. People are talking about Ryan Thompson and how it was a little weird that he came in the sixth inning. I actually really liked that decision. If you put Bryce Jarvis in the sixth instead, he gets Arcia and Darno to start, which is a pretty good 1-2.
Sure.
But then you've got Acuna after that, and Bryce Jarvis would have to face Acuna no matter what, right? Yeah, because of the three batter minimum. So the Diamondbacks, if he had only come in to face three batters, I think it would have been weird. But he not only got Arcia and Darno, he struck out Ronald Acuna. He also faced Ozzy Albies, and then he faced Austin Riley to start the next inning as well. So he went from the number eight hitter all the way through the number three hitter. So he really did face like the top of the Braves order. He just didn't, those guys just weren't up immediately when he came out. If Bryce Jarvis comes in that spot and he gives up a base hit to Darno, then you've got one-on-one out with Acuna at the plate and Bryce Jarvis, and then the big boppers of the Braves coming up after that. I just think it would be a more difficult spot.
I agree. And they are in a difficult spot right now. And we don't know how long the Geraldo Perdomo injury is going to persist for, but we didn't get some encouraging news today. Actually, we got both. We got encouraging news first from Nick Pecoro, and then he followed that up quickly with a reply that changed things quite a bit.
Yeah, that did happen today. Pecoro originally tweeted that Perdomo was doing some drills on the field. He wasn't in the lineup, of course, but he'd been doing some drills out at Truist Park in front of some of the Diamondbacks medical personnel. Pecoro said that he seemed to be moving well. And then when they did the pregame interview with Torey Lovello, Torey revealed that Perdomo might have looked okay, but he did not feel okay, and that he would likely get an MRI on his knee tomorrow. So we sort of expect that to be the next step. Of course, getting imaging doesn't necessarily mean that anything is seriously wrong, but it is not a step in the right direction necessarily either.
Are you okay?
Damon's depressed.
I'm not okay after these last two games. Like I'm so angry.
Doubled over in his chair, holding his stomach right now, and I was concerned about him. Are you all right? Yeah, well, you got JJ over there. Things don't get better for this team. I mean, they get a little better because we got Brandon Pfaadt on the mound tomorrow, but let's take a look at the probables for the rest of the series because it's still difficult. The Braves really send up some of their best here in this series against the Diamondbacks, and right, we still got quite a ways to go. I mean, honestly, today wasn't on Tommy Henry. It really wasn't. So no, as far as that goes, hopefully we can get similar performances from both Brandon Pfaadt and Ryan Nelson. Pfaadt less concerned about tomorrow going against Max Fried and his 40.50 ERA.
I mean, we have to win tomorrow.
I feel like we do, right? You can't lose to a guy
this
with an
ERA. This is the
like
earliest
that.
Must-win game in the history of regular season baseball.
I was going to say, let's chill.
It's the earliest must-win game ever.
We talked on the watch-along with the diehards about what you'd be satisfied with in this series. And Derek, you basically said, if they get one out of these three games, you don't necessarily feel great about it, but that's sort of like a neutral outcome. Like that, I don't think that would really be bad. If you go in against arguably the best team in all of baseball with your number 3 through 5 starters against their number 1 through 3 starters, and you lose 2 out of 3 in that series, that's honestly fine. And we also talked about how they faced the Rockies at Coors for 3 games after that. Got an opportunity to, you know, get some positive momentum going immediately after this series. So, yeah, I mean, if you're the D-backs, you'd like to get one of the next two, right? I mean, of course, you'd like to get both of these. But if they can just find a way to win one of these next two games, you leave Atlanta and you feel okay about yourself.
Well, today was a weird day around the National League West anyway. We had the Cubs pull off a fairly unlikely win against the Dodgers, so that helps us out. But then Jesse had to be Captain Naysayer over here and be like, "Eh, does it?" And then say, like, we know the Dodgers are going to dodge, but we know the Cubs are going to be a potential opponent for the Diamondbacks when it comes, you know, like to one of those wild card spots. So
I'm just saying, like, toward the end of last season, D-backs fans didn't give a crap what the Dodgers did, right? If the Cubs and the Dodgers were playing in September last year, D-backs fans wanted the Dodgers to destroy the Cubs, right? Because the Cubs were a team in direct competition with the D-backs. The Dodgers were so far ahead that it didn't really matter. Yeah. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's going to be the case this year, but I think that's the most likely outcome if we're being realistic. Like, you don't want, if you're the D-backs, you don't want the other wild card teams doing well. The Cubs figure to be one of those teams. Granted, yeah, it's probably a little early to be having like postseason picture conversations at this point. So I digress.
Thunderbolt's losing his mind. He says, with all these injuries, do we talk about the strength and conditioning issues? No, this is baseball, Thunderbolt. Is this your first year watching this? I think the biggest thing that we heard during spring training, the biggest concern from every single guy was health.
Yeah.
You'd be like, how'd you do today? I'm just glad I stayed healthy. Like, it was wild, but you just hear this over and over and over again. And it's because with this, you know, with that stretch, with the way that they go out there and they work out every single day, it's hard, right? You ever work out? How, like, are you sore that day? No, you're sore the next day. And guess what? You're probably even more sore 2 days later. Well, that's when they're still out there running around and doing PFPs and working out in, you know, in the workout room. Like, these guys, it's rigorous once they start their spring training schedule and they start doing all of this stuff. I don't think it's an issue, like a bigger issue with the Diamondbacks. It's the reason why they added as much depth as they did and still didn't feel like they added enough depth. And honestly, like, Jordan Montgomery being added at the last minute might end up being the key thing that gets this team, you know, to the postseason this year, based on what we've seen already. Not sure how great it would have been to go throughout the entire 2024 season with, you know, and either of these guys in the starting rotation right now. And we might still need them in the starting rotation. You know, might not
probably
continue to
almost,
stay healthy. You
know? Almost, I think it is almost for sure that the Diamondbacks will still need at least one of Ryan Nelson or Tommy Henry the rest of the way. I mean, you know, we talk about how you're going to need like 7, 8, 9 starting pitchers to get through a season. It's not as if, like, if you have a couple guys who get hurt early, I guess Erod's really the only one who's hurt. Jordan Montgomery is just kind of ramping up. But yeah, even after those guys come back, the odds of the D-backs front 5 starters staying healthy the entire rest of the season is not very high.
Well, of course, we will be back again. Not tomorrow. This is Friday.
This is audio only format. We will be back tomorrow.
That's right. And yes, we have a lot to discuss, including the Dodgers absolutely hosing a fan that caught Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball as a Dodger, and a former Major League Baseball player erecting a baseball field in his backyard here on some sort of island with no HOA and no laws. So make sure to check out that audio podcast tomorrow for sure. Also check out AZ Lottery. The AZ Lottery is all about sending you on an adventure this time of year. It's a beautiful time of the year to go on an adventure, and you can actually win big with their new AZ Adventure promotion. Arizona Adventure Lottery tickets do feature three iconic landscapes. That's one way you can win. You can also enter tickets online for a chance to win more money, win $1 million in cash in Arizona travel prizes. And you can also take adventures with Arizona Adventure by checking in at geolocated adventure spots at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma. Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Also, I got started on my home ownership journey, which is an adventure in itself, but one that is very, very, very fortuitous. And you can, of course, get started as well with Desert Financial Credit Union. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union. They're dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial solutions that make your lives better. Not everybody has your best interest in mind when it comes to financial institutions, so make sure you bank with one that does. When you open a free checking account online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. Well, that's all we got.
Shout out Colorado Rockies, man.
They did the thing, too. I didn't get to round to them.
An up and down ninth.
They almost blew it, and then they didn't. And they win their home opener. So shout out to DNVR.
They were up 6-2 going to the ninth inning, and they wound up winning 10-7. So
it was almost
another day at Coors Field.
It was almost an all-city sweep, but of course the White Sox, I think, blew it. I believe the White Sox blew it. So
we blew it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's also the Diamondbacks also didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
We very much blew it.
I mean, what are the odds that the White Sox and Rockies win on the same day? Like that, like
not very likely.
There's only like six or not seven of likely. Those out of a full 162 game season, right? I mean, you better hope the D-backs and Cubs and Phillies come to play those.
To be honest, now that you said that, Jesse, I kind of want to do a White Sox Rockies parlay and just put $5 on it, like every single day,
see whenever
and
it
then,
happens,
and then see how, if it the comes back profitable or not. Yeah, because they're going to be plus money every game,
every single time. Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh well. All right. Well, we will be back, like I said, with that audio podcast tomorrow, and then we'll be back on Monday with another 1 p.m. show. Make sure to join us for that. Make sure to get us your Mailbag Monday questions. We will be sure to answer them. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. Drop a like before you go. Make sure you subscribe. Go over to the audio side. Subscribe over there.
Drop a like to make Gabby better.
Drop
hitting.
A like. Yeah, let's get Gabby back over
at
200.
If you want Corbin
average.
Carroll and Gabby Moreno to get out of their early season slumps.
Right. Drop
it
a like.
It starts with a thumbs up on this YouTube video. That's absolutely them's the rules, Derek.
That's the
rules.
Of course, I left out the people's producer, Damon. He's at Damon Dog. That's at DAWG. I don't know if we feel like barking tonight.
No, I'm always willing to bark. Right. Whether I'm willing to bark for Damon kind of depends on the day. But
I'll be honest, guys,
I'm one of Damon's dogs.
It's the effort that he puts into his performances. He always gives a good effort. It's just sometimes we know that he can do better.
Yeah,
is that fair?
All I was gonna say is if anything, like my guy is the reason that we're losing these games because he's not available. I've been pounding the table, Jerry P. If he's available, we're winning these ball games. So I feel like I deserve all the plaudits.
We are Damon's dogs.
Bark.
Our show again is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for your time tonight. We appreciate you stopping by. And of course, we'll see you again next week. In the meantime, Stay classy and remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you don't experience a Blaze moment in the ninth inning.